you ever worried about preserving your outdoor gear, your outdoor outerwear or footwear? Gear Aid's philosophy, and ours as well at Jesse Brown's, repair, renew, reuse, at least whenever you can. Our guest on the Carolina Outdoors is Beatty Jackson from the Taku Agency, representing Gear Aid and others like Opinel. I want to ask you a little bit about that, Beatty, a little bit later on in the program. But we're talking about personifying your equipment, recognizing that your good footwear, your good outerwear, your good backpack, or whatever is a part of the experience. It is a part of the memories that are created whenever you're doing something fun and enjoyable, or even if it's not fun and enjoyable, it's always a part of the memories. But how do you make it last longer? There is an expected $51 billion growth of the secondhand market in the next 5 years. That's huge. That's people using and then reusing equipment on and on and on. But what are the major problems? You heard us talking a little bit about waders before, and you've heard us talk about raincoats and Revivex and treating that Gore-Tex or waterproof jacket to keep it waterproof for years to come. But is that the main problem that people have with their gear? We're going to ask Beatty Jackson of the Taku Agency that right now. Beatty, what is the number one gear issue that people have?
Besides not using your gear enough,
yeah,
which is a problem for a lot of people, I think probably the thing we see the most is that people have either a problem with a zipper, because almost everything we have has a zipper as a closure. And that means a piece of fleece, a rain jacket, a pair of jeans, almost everything has some form of zipper on it. And I see a lot of problems with zippers.
Well, so what about zippers? Do they get caught in fabric? Get thrown off track? Does the male part of the zipper fall off? What happens with zippers, or the multiple issues that may and can happen with a zipper?
Well, the number one issue, Bill, is they don't work. let's just make it really easy. I'm living in Damascus, Virginia, and you know, as the people there say, that dog ain't going to hunt. That zipper just won't work. And it could be a number of things. I've seen scout troops have problems with zippers on tents, and they spend hundreds of dollars having new zippers put in. And the reality is that if you look closely at a zipper, it probably is easy to say that it's not the zipper, the coil or the tooth zipper itself. It's the pull, the thing that pushes the two pieces together. And that's where we see the issues, and that's easily repaired. The hard part is that there are no standard sizes for zippers. So you have to have an assortment of zipper pulls to know which size that you need, and they're numbered. There's a number 2, and number 1, and number 5, and number 7, and number 10. And various products like sleeping bags use generally a little bit bigger zipper than, say, a backpack, because it's just not that much wear and tear on it. But we see that happen, and one of my great stories is that I've been doing this a long time. Mm-hmm. And when I worked for a couple of years as the sole sales guy for Gear Aid, and I started out with like 9 states, and a month later I had 35 states, and a few weeks after that I had all 50 states. And I would travel all over the country, living in my van and being on the road for weeks at a time, basically doing clinics and talking about care and repair of gear and appropriate products to fix the appropriate problem. I was in L.L. Bean in the middle of the night, because they're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so I had to do 3 clinics that day. And I was in the middle of the night, and there was a gentleman who said he had a problem, that he had a zipper that wouldn't move on a duffel bag. And so we talked about it a little bit, and it just wouldn't move. And so he excused himself, and I continued with the clinic. And a few minutes, he came back with this duffel bag. And I just had to ask. I said, you know, did you just had this in your car? Did you run home and get it? And he goes, no, it's been in my locker. And I just had to laugh. And I said, how long has it been? How long have you had this problem? He goes, about 7 years. And he's been, I was like, were you waiting on the zipper fairy to show up and fix this? What was going to happen? Long story short is that we figured out what he needed to do because the zipper pull was nickel and it oxidized, and therefore it just was coarse and rough and it wouldn't slide, that we needed to use some lubricant on it. And we make a zipper lubricant, and you know, think about lubricating the zippers. But they get dirt in them and they get used and they get wear and tear. So we lubed the zipper up. It took a little while working it, playing with it. And short order, we had that zipper working like it was a brand new product. And that was the happiest guy I'd seen over a duffel bag because the zipper was working. But this is one of those things you don't think about. You don't think about the raincoat, your rain jacket, your fleece. And then when the zipper stops working, most people just trash their garment. And yeah. That, you know, ecologically is really what is bad for our environment. And you want to make this stuff last. And, you know, I've got a vest that I bought in 1990 that I'm still wearing on occasion. I mean, there's winters I've worn that every day. So
when somebody says, hey, Beatty, you dress like you're back in the 1990s, it's legit.
Yeah, I'm a dirt bag.
He's been in the outdoor industry for 40 plus years, outfitting people, but also making sure their gear and equipment are the right gear and equipment, and that gear and equipment can last longer than the norm, especially these days. Beatty, I'm going to switch gear a little bit because I mentioned earlier you're the honorable town council member from Damascus, Virginia. And that's a big deal. And it's a big deal because municipalities have a lot of challenges going on these days. Now, in Charlotte, there's a whole lot of urban issues. It has to do with zoning, or it has to do with, all kinds of what the city of Charlotte's council takes on. But in Damascus, Virginia, which is looked at as a mecca for outdoor pursuits and activities, with the Appalachian Trail going right through the middle of town. You also have a great rails to trails 34-mile bike path and footpath that goes right through the middle of town. In fact, a little bit of it in the Appalachian Trail coexists, and it's called the Virginia Creeper Trail. You have a huge event that comes up in May. I don't know if you've discussed that in any of the council meetings. It's the Trail Days. And in fact, Damascus is called Trail Town, USA. What's going on in the outdoor realm during the pandemic, and what are the biggest concerns? Is it handling traffic and people who are trying to escape the regular life and get into the outdoor life where it feels and is safer?
It's definitely safer to be out in the outdoors. We see in Damascus, and we're a town of roughly less than 800 full-time residents in the town, and we have pretty much an aging population. But the neat thing about our town is we have 7 trails that actually converge in Damascus. The one that most everybody doesn't know about is what they call the 76, which is the Cross America bike path that goes from Williamsburg, Virginia to Astoria, Oregon. And it comes right through our town as well. So we really see a cross-section of everything from hikers to bikers to day hikers to just all... everybody. And we love it. It's a great town. That's one of the reasons I moved there. It kind of was central to my location for my business. It was central. It took me as long to drive to Miami as it did to drive to Bar Harbor, Maine. And I thought that was a pretty clever place to live. But we're a small town, and we absolutely are. In fact, we're going to open in by early spring. We're going to open a trail center there that is going to be a educational thing for the Appalachian Trail Conservancy. And the building is built, and the ATC is going to be the tenant. And they're going to do workshops and trail maintenance. There's going to be history. We're also the gateway, if you will, to Grayson Highlands and Roan Mountain. So there'll be an education about that. There'll be pretty much anything you want to know about our area. But we are concerned, you know, when people come that they follow the CDC guidelines as best they can, that they be patient and that they wear their mask and they socially distance. We love when people come, and we have probably a couple hundred thousand people a year who cycle through, I say cycle, just meaning coming through Damascus for various activities there. We are not seeing our population grow, which is a little bit of a concern, but a lot of the houses are being turned into weekend rentals. And so we're seeing a really nice influx of folks. I laugh, and a lot of times on a Saturday, if I'm helping a buddy of mine with a shuttle company to take people to the top of the Virginia Creeper Trail, I always ask where people are from, and I would say a huge portion of those folks are from the Charlotte area. And in August, September, and October, on a Saturday, I ask if, you know, who turned the lights out down here, because everybody must be in Damascus. It's incredible.
Well, and that's a treat. And again, there's so many different things to do out there. Fly fishing, the Laurel Creek comes right through there, off of the mountain there. Hikers are in there. Bikers are in there. Were there any restrictions on, like, the shuttle service, for instance? Were there any concerns on how to move people up there? Did you just open up the windows, put your mask on, and roll?
Well, that would have been nice if we could just open the windows up and roll like that. But what we did was we cut our capacity way back. Mm-hmm. The Creeper Trail was closed for about 8 weeks, where we physically, you know, it was closed. We couldn't really, I mean, it's not like we can put a gate up and keep people from getting on it, but it was closed and the shuttle companies were all shut down. And I think this next year we're going to see that same situation, but we had no problems if you had a family, and we tried to keep families together and run fewer people in the vans so that we were trying to keep the cross-contamination from happening as best you can. And then once you're on the trail, then you can socially distance at your best guess, our best desire. But we love having people come, and you know, we want everybody to come and have a great time, bring a great attitude, and bring your wallet.
Well, tourism is important in Damascus, Virginia. We've got one of the town council members here, Beatty Jackson. He changed hats. He went from the Taku agency to now being a town council member in Damascus, Virginia, Trail Town USA. We're glad you're listening. This is the Carolina Outdoors. I'm Bill Barty. No matter how you're listening to this program, as we blast up and down the eastern seaboard early on a Saturday morning via the airwaves of WBT Radio, maybe you're subscribing to us wherever you download podcasts. Welcome aboard, as well as where I hang my hat through the week, Jesse Brown's Outdoors and jessebrowns.com. Just click on podcasts. We have this segment and all the other segments loaded and ready for your ears to hear the Carolina Outdoors. That's what we do, come in and break down different segments for your listening pleasure. So hopefully you'll get outdoors and make it happen wherever you need to make it happen. So now I'm going to put Beatty on the spot. He does not know the question. We never want to make anyone uncomfortable with the questions that come out here on the Carolina Outdoors. But as far as Damascus, Virginia, and the through hikers, people who know, not are through hiking as in I quit, but people who are going from Georgia to Maine, or maybe Maine to Georgia, taking 6 months or whatever it takes to hike that distance all in one fell swoop. That's what a through hiker is, the 2,100 plus miles of the Appalachian Trail. In the middle of May, give or take, there is a celebration called Trail Days. And that is when not just the through hikers can converge, but also many of the gear companies, including Gear Aid and others, will be there helping hikers with their gear equipment. People will be showing their goods. Scout troops go up there, camp, and participate in the festivities. It is really something to see. But of course, as a lot of different things during the pandemic. It got changed. Now we've got a town council member from Damascus, Virginia, right here amongst us. Beatty, is it putting you too bad on the spot for you to at least predict if we'll have a Trail Days this May?
Bill, you got a coin in your pocket? Because it's going to be a toss-up. We're going to try to follow. We just had our first Trail Days organization meeting last week, and we're going to follow CDC guidelines, whether we like it or not. Last year was the first year in 30 years that we did not have Trail Days. It is a huge event for our town. It's one of the things that brings people in from all over. Our little town of 760 some odd people swells to about 10,000 people that weekend. And that's a weekend that if you're coming to ride the Creeper Trail and to hang out, you better bring a good attitude because the town is swamped. But we don't know whether it's going to happen. We don't know how this virus is going to morph, how it's going to change. And we certainly hope that we get enough vaccinations that we start seeing it go in the right direction. But it's a toss-up right now. If you're interested, Trail Days is always the weekend after Mother's Day. I almost got beat on Tuesday when I said that we should change Trail Days because it's gotten a little late for most thru hikers. And the people don't want to change. It's tradition and it's always the weekend after Mother's Day.
Hey, what's that mean? It got a little late. Does that mean the hikers are starting earlier and they're further along? Are they becoming more efficient or professional? What's that mean?
It means they're starting earlier. People have already left Amicola Falls in Georgia this year, headed to Maine. Predominantly the people who are starting in January, and in particular January, they're going to try to do what they call the Triple Crown. They're going to try to do the Appalachian Trail, the Continental Trail Divide, and the Pacific Trail all in 1 year, which means all of those trails are 2,000 miles or longer, and you can't let any miles grow on your feet. You have to start super early. As we find that the winters are not as harsh as they were 40 years ago when I was a kid, we're finding that people are able to start a little earlier. I would personally, and I just marvel at people who are willing to take on the high country of the Smokies and in some of North Carolina and even into northern or southern Virginia. Then the 5,000 foot elevations in the wintertime, when we get a snowfall, we get a pretty good one. And with COVID right now, if you get stranded in any of those areas in the national park in the Smoky Mountains, the rangers aren't coming to get you. They're going to leave you because it's just, they don't have the staff and it's just too dangerous. So that's what we know about Trail Days. We hope it's going to happen.
That's all the more reason, going back to the topic of gear aid, to have your gear maintained and suited to take on that bad weather, because preparation always makes for a better trip, no matter whether you're going into an unexpected snowstorm or what. Beatty, we didn't even get to talk. You got to come back onto the program because you also represent one of my favorites. It is a knife company. No, it's not the Swiss Army Knife Company. No, it's not Buck, the Buck Knife Company. It is a French knife company that we sell at Jesse Brown's that has been in existence since 1890, 131 years. But it is the most sold, or one of the most sold, with 15 million knives per year sold, Opinel. You're going to have to come back on and tell us more about that next time on the Carolina Outdoors. Is that okay?
Sure. I'm happy to.
Beatty, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Carolina Outdoors.